Chapter 9. Aromantic. Summary. Peter learns something about himself and attends his first Avengers Pride Party. In the 3 weeks before the New York Pride celebrations and the famous Avenger Tower Pride festivities, there were a lot of things to plan and prepare for. Between work and school, meetings for the party and patrol, Peter had little to no free time, and the time he spent mostly enjoying the warm weather of late May and early June. A few days before Pride, he was in the bar again, for the first time in almost 2 weeks. He knew most of his friends wouldn't be there either, as they were just as busy, but he had the evening free and needed some distraction, so he went anyway.
Hey, Peter. It's been a while since I saw you here. Everything all right?
Bucky greeted Peter as he took one of the free seats at the bar.
Yeah, just a lot of stress with university and planning. And the entire Queen's Underground seems to have decided now is the right time to cause trouble too. Did you know there's actually a correlation between ice cream rates and crime rates? Obviously, that doesn't mean there is any causal link between them. They're both separately linked to temperature, but it's still funny to think about it.
Peter rambled. Bucky chuckled a little.
I did not. It's good to see you. What can I make for you today?
Peter hummed and tilted his head as he studied the menu over the bar.
I don't know. Just make whatever you think I'd like. I have made enough decisions today already.
Okay, just two more questions. Sweet or not? And strong or not so much?
Peter hummed again, this time studying the wall of liquor behind Bucky.
Sweet and strong.
He decided.
I'll take the same.
Elena said instead of a greeting as she sat next to Peter.
You don't even know what it's going to be.
Peter narrowed his eyes at her a little, but Elena just shrugged.
Sweet and strong? Sounds like something I'd like.
She let her view sweep through the bar once.
No snogging your boyfriend tonight?
Eddie has to shoot some event tonight.
Peter answered absentmindedly. When he realized who he was talking to, he hastily added,
as a photographer. Definitely only as a photographer.
Yeah, I got that, little spider.
Yelena laughed, throwing her arm around him. Before Peter had to come up with a reply, Bucky set out two glasses filled to the brim with red and yellow liquid.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to call this, but it has cherry, banana, and a lot of rum.
They announced, watching Peter's and Yelena's faces contort a little when the rum first hit, but turn into a smile when the fruity notes started to mix in.
If it's too strong flavor-wise, I can put in more juice.
They offered.
No, it's good.
Peter answered, the same moment Yelena pulled her glass out of their reach and put a hand over the rim protectively. Bucky nodded, and they had to serve another customer, and for a moment, Peter and Yelena just shared an awkward silence. When his drink was half empty, Peter decided on a topic he could talk about with the blonde.
You're Aro. Can I ask you a bit about that?
Sure, shoot.
Yelena answered, sipping at her drink, which was almost empty already.
So, how do you know? I mean, how do you know what you're experiencing is queer platonic and not romantic? Maybe everyone just feels like that, and they just show it differently than you.
Peter asked, unable to look at her. Yelena let out a friendly scoff.
Are you trying to invalidate the entirety of aspect identities? Or is that your very awkward way of telling me that you think you might be Aro, but have bad imposter syndrome?
Peter dropped his head to the bar top with a thump and a sigh.
Just forget I asked, please.
So the second, then?
Yelena asked, with her equivalent of gentleness, and Peter nodded, his head still on the bar.
It can be just as hard to know what you don't feel than what you feel. And just because Aros don't feel romantic attraction at all, or feel less of it, doesn't mean they don't want romantic things. I usually don't, but Kate can be incredibly cheesy. But neither of us is any more or less Aro for it.
Peter lifted his head and turned to look at her again. He had almost expected her to keep making fun of him and Eddie for being so sappy, but this sounded like she actually wanted to help him figure it out.
I'm not good at explaining this stuff. I've just never been interested in relationships at all, until Kate and her chaotic mutt came into my life and refused to leave.
She tried to keep her stoic facade upright, but just for a moment, Peter saw her smile and her eyes light up as she talked about Kate.
Maybe you should talk to her. She's better with helping, and she spent a lot more time questioning than me.
Yeah, I might do that.
Peter mused, mindlessly playing with the straw in his drink.
Labels don't have to be forever. And if you find something that works for you, it's okay if it doesn't perfectly describe your experience, as long as it feels right to you.
Bucky, who had come back halfway through their conversation, added,
I spent a long time trying to find the right micro-labels, but nothing felt specific enough to me. So now I just call myself non-binary and ace and leave the details open. But it can help a lot to look into smaller labels to figure yourself out, even if you choose not to use them.
Don't get me wrong. I love Eddie, and I love doing romantic stuff. But I'm not sure if it's romantic. It's just... it doesn't feel like everyone says it's supposed to.
I can't tell you what your identity is, but if you ask me, that sounds an awful lot like you're some kind of aerospec. Maybe not on the far end, but gray aero maybe?
Bucky answered carefully.
Yeah, I think so.
Peter was still staring thoughtfully into the pink liquid in his glass. Elena lightly bumped her fist against his shoulder.
Welcome to the club. We have succulents and phoenixes, but no cake. Cake is just for aces.
What?
Peter looked up, confused. Chuckling, Bucky explained.
You know how some groups in Pride tend to have symbols and things they claim as their own for various reasons?
Peter nodded.
A-spec identities are especially good at that. Aces claim cake because it's the reverse of an old meme and has become an icon. We also have dragons and garlic bread. Aeros claim phoenixes and a few others. Aeros, which Clint is pissed about, by the way, but Kate loves it. And pretty much everything that's green because not many identities use green.
Oh, that's fun. Tell me more.
Peter asked, and Bucky and Yelena went into the topic. Both were surprisingly enthusiastic, and from what Peter understood, a lot of people in the community were similarly invested. By the time of the Pride party, Peter had talked with Kate and Eddie and done some more of his own research, and while he was still not completely sure where he fell, he decided to start using the label aromantic. And while he wasn't comfortable wearing the full flag for the party yet, Kate and Yelena gave him pins on their white aromantic ring, and Clint incorporated the colors into Peter's makeup for the party. Clint, Matt, Eddie, and Peter were sitting in Clint's room, which he still had at the tower, and Clint was just doing Matt's makeup.
Will you keep still? No one can be this ticklish.
Clint complained when Matt twitched away from the brush he was using for his eyeshadow for the fourth time.
You'd rethink that when you could feel what I can. And it's not even that it tickles. It's just a weird sensory thing. I never liked it, even before I got my senses.
Yeah, I'm not good with that either. I get really bad sensory icks from brushes on my skin sometimes.
Peter agreed. He was standing in front of the mirror, pulling on his costume and looking at himself from different angles. The costume was based on Peter's usual suit, but the parts that were usually red were now purple, the details were pink to represent the bio flag, and it featured the half mask.
Oh God, please tell me you don't have that.
Clint looked at Eddie, almost pleading.
Not as far as I know, but I also never had my makeup done, so I have no idea.
He finished putting on his outfit and walked up to Peter.
It feels wrong.
Peter told him quietly.
You look great. Spider-Man, the bi icon. No one is going to question a thing.
Eddie laid his arms around him in a way that hit the part of his chest he was usually most dysphoric about.
You're hot.
He whispered in Peter's ear, and if Matt heard it, he pretended like he didn't.
Are you done now?
Matt snapped when Clint redid the trans symbol on his cheek the second time.
You know, I actually don't care that much about how my face looks.
He said it pointedly.
I know that, but as long as you don't plan on revealing your secret identity today too, most people out there don't.
Clint answered, and Matt had to admit that he was right.
Fine, but hurry. That feeling is the worst.
When Clint was finally happy with Matt's makeup, he did Eddie's and Peter's last. Like expected, Eddie had no problem with the brushes, but Peter reacted similarly sensitively to them as Matt. But with some flinching from Peter and some complaining about it from Clint, they were done, and all that was left was for Clint and Matt to get into their costumes. Matt's was very similar to his usual daredevil suit, but it was less heavily armored and had details in the pan and trans colors. Since Clint's identity was public, his outfit had a lot more room for creativity and thus reminded only very distantly of his normal uniform. He was wearing simple black shorts and combat boots with purple laces. His usual tech vest was replaced by an open-fronted waistcoat he was wearing over a mesh top in bi-pride colors. When he was just tying his trans pride flag around his neck, he noticed Peter eyeing him with narrowed eyes.
What is it?
Peter was speechless for a moment longer until he stumbled out.
How?
How what? How do I look so good in mesh? I don't know, I just do.
Peter was so surprised by that answer that he managed to form the actual question before he actually tried to again.
No, how can you wear that without a binder?
Oh, let me introduce you to the magic that is trans tape.
He chuckled, pulling the black fabric away to reveal purple medical tape wrapped from his sternum over his chest and to the side.
I don't use it much, but it's perfect when I want to go topless or mesh. It takes some practice to get it right, but it's exercise safe and you don't have to worry about it for a few days.
I want to try that sometime.
Peter asked, pulling his eyes away when he realized he was still staring.
It's great. But if you get sensory problems with sticky things, it might not work for you.
Med warned.
I'm not saying you shouldn't try. Just be prepared.
Peter made a disapproving noise.
I'm autistic, and I have heightened senses. Of course I get sensory icks.
Didn't Claire tape your knee that time you decided jumping off that roof was a good idea?
Finn inquired while fixing his hair in the mirror.
Yeah? Why?
Peter fiddled with the pins he had gotten from the girls. Then continued.
This is basically the same stuff, so if that worked for you, this might too. Let's just try it.
A few minutes later, when Clint was finally happy with his hair, they made their way to the penthouse floor where the party was already going. The private elevator brought them to a roped-off area where only a few of the New York heroes were standing around and chatting. Still, when they left the elevator, both Matt and Peter stopped in their tracks, overwhelmed at first by the noise and impressions. Matt tilted his head and pulled Clint a little closer so he could use the physical contact they shared as a couple as a disguise for being guided. Usually, crowds were no problem for the devil, but parties, especially in the dimension of the legendary dark parties, were a different situation than fighting large group of enemies, especially once alcohol and music got involved.
Describe it to me.
Matt asked Clint after a moment of regulating himself.
I'd love to. Let's find a quiet corner.
Clint smiled and pressed a kiss to Matt's cheek. Peter had to blink a few times, overwhelmed by the sheer numbers of colors and patterns in the crowd.
You ready?
Eddie and Venom asked as one, and wrapped an arm around Peter's waist. After a deep breath, he nodded, and together they stepped into the main area of the party. Most people were dressed in colorful and creative outfits, not afraid to be themselves at an event like this. And a lot of guests and all the heroes were wearing flags and outfits that represented their colors. Front and center were Tony and Steve, surrounded by people and covered in blue, pink, and purple. Tony had also added the colors to represent polyamory in the details, subtle enough that they could be missed, but still obvious to everyone who knew what they meant. Pepper was standing at the bar, chatting with Natasha and Maria. The strawberry blonde was wearing a stunning dress and had chosen to represent her flag in her makeup and accessories. Natasha and Maria had, like Clint, chosen outfits close to their usual uniform. They were mostly black, but instead of the usual logos and fighting equipment, they now had pins and patches representing their identities. Bruce had joined Clint and Matt in a quiet corner. The scientist was wearing his usual casual shirt, but instead of just muted colors, he was covered in gray, black, white, and a bright purple today. Some of the other heroes had followed the same subtle route, like Bucky, who was wearing a beautifully flowing dress with panels representing the ace and the non-binary flag, and Loki, who had a lighted one in pan and gender-fluid colors. But many of them were wearing colorful versions of their suit and costumes. America had swapped her usual red, white, and blue for pink and orange, and so had Carol. Valkyrie was covered in the bio flag, and Thor was a moving display of the pan colors. Sam had gotten a version of his Falcon suit fully in blue and green tones. The Guardians, while not attending for the first time, were still new to the concept of pride parades, but with the help of Tony and Clint, they had found their colors and were now practically drowning in merchandise representing them. Star-Lord matched Tony, and Rocket rivaled Thor in the amount of yellow, cyan, and pink, but had also added some ace flags in between. Groot was running around, leaving small rainbow flags everywhere he could reach. Gamora and Nebula matched with their purple and green arrow and ace flags, and Drax joined the group with the demosexual pins all over his uniform. In general, there was a surprising amount of aceback representation. Rowdy was wearing a variation of the Iron Patriot suit in blue and yellow that matched the flag Yelena had slung over her crop top and skirt combo. Shuri was wearing a similar outfit, just in black and purple, and Peter could see the jealous flicker in Clint's eyes when he described it to Matt. Kate and Danny were rivaling each other to see who could bring more symbols and puns into their costume. Peter thought Kate won, purely because she was the queen of the arrow/arrow pun, but he had to admit Danny looked good in green. And Yelena and Kate also had matching body paint in yellow, pink, white, grey, and black to represent the queer platonic flag. After the first wave of overstimulation had dissipated, Peter and Eddie joined the rest of the crowd in conversation, drinks, and food. Tony and the others had planned a lot of entertainment throughout the afternoon and evening, and when there was nothing happening on the stage, there was music playing and chatter and laughter all around. Between live acts and speeches, there were also elements when small groups of hero and vigilantes were on the stage, talking about their identities, answering questions, or just showing their colors. Peter and Eddie joined Matt and Clint in their element. All four were very nervous, and Peter could feel Matt tense next to him even before they heard the crowd quiet down outside. It was their first time showing parts of their identity to the public on their own terms, and both Matt and Peter still hid other parts, though they were especially nervous.
And now, Hawkeye, Daredevil, Spider-Man, and Venom.
Pepper announced their names on the stage, and both Matt and Peter jumped a little, pulled out of their heads when they heard their names.
We can do this.
Clint reassured them, taking Matt's hand, leading the way, and all but pulling the others with him. At first, it was just Clint talking. He was the only one of them who was used to being at press conferences and interviews, and his ADHD caused him to talk when he was nervous instead of going quiet and semi-verbal like Matt and Peter. But after the first few questions and comments, Peter and a moment later, Matt realized that they were met with support and love, and they found their confidence again. During their time on stage, Peter noticed nervous tics and signs of insecurity from all of them. He saw Clint's hand twitch to his hearing aids, disguised as his finger running through his hair. Matt just so managed to hide a few habits he had from his daily life, and Peter noticed his hand slip over the injuries hidden by his suit. Eddie and Venom were less visual in their nervousness, but over the last 2 months, Peter had learned to read their tells. Peter noticed himself fidgeting, and he was glad to have the pins and charms the others had given him. Despite the support and the positive reaction they had gotten, Peter was overwhelmed and could feel himself slipping when they left the stage.
Who's ready for drinks?
Clint asked, almost bouncing with a pent-up energy and excitement from sitting still during the Q&A.
Give me, like, 5 minutes of silence.
Matt requested.
Then I'm ready.
Peter was fidgeting and had leaned against the wall right next to the door of the backstage area. He had closed his eyes and one hand was fiddling with the binder under his suit.
I think we need a little break.
Eddie murmured, slowly walking up to Peter and putting a hand on his arm.
Go ahead and get started without us.
When Matt and Clint went back out, Peter and Eddie went to the Avengers common area for a few minutes of quiet and privacy. In the kitchen, they met Bruce and shared a cup of tea and some comfortable silence with him before they went back to the penthouse. The party lasted long into the night, and once it had long turned dark outside and the public part had ended, the heroes and their invited guests changed out of their suits and costumes and Macbeth on the roof. Pepper had ordered enough pizza for even Thor and his Asgardian appetite to be well fed, and Tony and Bruce had prepared fireworks to celebrate a successful night. It must have made a very interesting picture to see all those heroes in their casual pride outfits, smeared makeup, and all somewhere between tipsy and drunk. They were sitting on the floor of the walkway, leaning against the banister with their pizza and drinks of choice, tired but incredibly happy. Reader's note. I hope you enjoyed this podfic. I'm very happy with how it turned out, especially given how many late nights I spent writing it last year and editing it this year. Many thanks to all the Discord servers who helped me with headcanons and story ideas and joined me in many a sprint last year, and of course to everyone who joined me in the endeavor of making this into a multi-voice project this year.